Welcome to Just Relationships, the show that offers you concrete ways to make your relationships better. Whether it's your boss, your spouse, your children, or your friends, the quality of your relationships in life directly affects how you feel about yourself and the success you achieve. Your host, Dr. Duffy Spencer, a psychotherapist, telecoach, author, and seminar leader, will interview top experts to help you learn to manage this essential part of your life. And now, here's your host, Dr. Duffy Spencer.
Greetings to you. Well, if you listened to last week's show, then you know that Rhys Thomas is back letting us know about the nature of life purpose, and there are five, and most people do not know what their purpose is, or they're not really, really clear about it. And I want to introduce to you Rhys Thomas, who is the author of Discover Your Purpose, How to Use the Five Life Purpose Profiles to Unlock Your Hidden Potential and Live the Life You Were Meant to Live. And Rhys is the creator of the Rhys Method Life Purpose Profiles. So Rhys, you went ahead and created these profiles, and these are instruments or assessments that people can take to just determine which is theirs. And for if you didn't listen to the show last week, then I just want you to know that Rhys Thomas is talking about discovering one's life purpose rather than creating one's life purpose, that this is a calling of the soul. And this is something, would you say, Rhys, that we're born with?
We're born with it, yes. We're born. So the way I see it work energetically is that we come into the world and we're really non-form, right? We come into the world and we're not a boy or a girl or wear pink or blue or have a religion or really anything. We come into the world and we are just completely open, and all of life is possibility. And we're not even, even up till 2 years old or so, we aren't really even that attuned with our body. We're really looking out, sort of like we're just this radiating out energy, which is the soul, which is really the soul itself. Mm. And the child experiences itself as connected to all things and non-form and not separate and independent. And yet what happens is that if the child stays like that, they will be sent to therapy immediately. They will be seen as being, relatively retarded because they're not going to learn a language. They're not going to pay attention to what they're supposed to be paying attention to. They're not going to be getting ready for school for sure. And so the child finds out that they get attention either given to them or taken away, love being given to them or taken away based on which parts of their psyche and behaviors are acceptable and which ones are not.
Right.
And so we all at some point in our lives have to make the choice between being loved and being who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Because who we are doesn't have all of these hard edges and forms and isn't dependent upon knowing that this is my bike or my room or my mommy or things like that. So that can define us. We came in already defined. And so when we gave that up, and everybody makes a choice, by the way, everybody makes a choice, even the rebels,
mm-hmm.
even the person says, no, I didn't make the choice to be loved. I'm a rebel. But that's just the identical choice. It's just the shadow choice of the parents are still in charge. You're still made a choice to be this one thing, rather than all the things. And so we all make the choice to be loved, more than be ourselves because
right.
we know that we're little children and we can't just go it alone. We have to conform in some way. And that
right.
then leads to a lifetime of trying to be what other people want us to be and trying to be the best us, which means the most accepted us
right.
rather than the real us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, the realization that we all came in knowing who we were spent, you know, you often 30 to 40 years trying to be something that we aren't, and then realizing that that whole sort of addictive pattern of trying to be this person, trying to be good and trying to be smart and trying to be a caretaking or a loving person or a successful person or a smart person or all these things that we're trying to be all the time are elements of who we are, but they aren't our whole self. And
yes.
And they are always a false promise.
Mm-hmm.
And they always lead to, ultimately, to either some sort of emotional or physical or psychological illness that
yeah.
then forces us to look at ourselves in our midlife and say, oh, what did I miss here? How did I get here? Because I did everything right.
Right, according to somebody else's rules, and somehow they changed the rules midstream, or what on earth happened here?
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
So they get this dis-ease, and
yes.
and we are, in my view, a nation of addicts, and
yep.
they're often hidden addictions, process addictions, not necessarily substance addictions like shopping or eating or gambling. So you're not.
No, we have addictions to being good.
Exactly.
We have addictions to making, to money being the source of my deepest happiness. You know?
Right.
I'm going to make this money. It's going to make me happy. And addictions to charity. And as crazy as it is, it's like there are a lot of people that are into charity not for the charity, but because it makes them look good as people.
Right, looking good. And I'm thinking about when you use the term shadow choice, which I love, I'm thinking about something that Jung said. He said, I'd rather be whole than good.
Yes, that's a wonderful statement, and that's what we were as children. I mean, as children, we didn't think twice about running around naked, right?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't think twice about touching parts of our body or saying certain things or
mm-hmm.
when your parents say go hug so and so and you go no, I don't like her. It's like you don't say that or a child,
right.
a little child doesn't think twice about going to swing at their parent who's holding them back from running across the street, even though the parent knows they're holding back from running across the street because there's a car coming.
Mm-hmm.
But the child responds to life just as a natural reaction until the parent says, we do not hit each other in this family. And then all of a sudden
right.
the child realizes that there's a, you know, there's a 18-foot tall monster standing over them that's
mm-hmm.
angry and
mm-hmm.
you know, breathing fire. And if they want to survive, they're going to have to comply. And that's we learn to shut down ourselves throughout our lives more than expand ourselves. And so the discovering your purpose is about discovering not how to behave better, but how to feel and be called to our lives and feel this deeper quality that had always existed. So in my book, there's a section called Your Secret Place.
Mm.
And everybody has what I call the breadcrumbs. Our soul has always left breadcrumbs. So the soul never leaves you completely without a path back to it.
Mm.
And one of the breadcrumbs is the secret place, where each of us have some place that we, as a child or as a teenager or somewhere in our lives, had a place that we went and were just able to be totally ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been, you know, somewhere dancing or playing or out in the woods or hidden in the basement or in a cubbyhole or in something, but some place that was yours. And when you were there, you were outside the energy, the energetics of your parents' home.
Mm.
And so you were able to totally expand your energy and not feel like in the parents' home, we all run into some sort of a this space is slightly smaller than my energy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always a limitation and a way of being, because there's an expectation that you should be not quite your whole self, but be just be the good parts.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas when we're in that place, in that secret place, we remember what it's like to be that. And when you know your secret place, and I had a couple of them, and one of my favorite ones, because of what I do in the school, it's a very important place for me. I used to go to a place up in the woods behind my house. We had a house that was right on a large set of woods, and there were some rocks up there, and the rocks sort of made these big V's, and I would go down in the V and sort of like I was out of the wind and in the sun, and there was always sticks and rocks and things in there and dirt, and I would in my mind be making superheroes in there. I would make them with capes, and they could fly, and they could disappear, and they could super think, and they could do, and they all could do all these amazing things, and I loved doing that. I loved the idea of a superhero. And now, what do? I run an energy medicine school, a 3-year training in energy medicine in the Boston area, and I teach people to be that superhero. And these profiles are literally your superhero inside of you, that when you get in touch with that, you realize that it has an enormous gift. So even the softest, you know, we talked about the five, on the last show, we talked about the five qualities, which are great super thinkers, deep, deep feelers and lovers, caretakers who care a lot about you, but they're there for you supportive wise. And then you've got the achievers in the world who show us how to do it perfectly. And then we have leaders who basically are going to be on top, whatever, you know, they're always going to want to be in charge one way or the other. They're either going to do it in the light or the shadow. And they'll either be the Hitler or the Christ. But they're going to lead one way or the other, and so we have each of those elements, and even the softest, most emotional, sensitive person in the world that's a leadership quality. That's an essential superpower that when someone is around that, they feel loved. It's like I liken that to the little old grandmother who brings out cookies, and she's the emotional intelligent, what we call the emotional intelligence special. She's the super emotional one, and every cookie she bakes with love. And when you eat that cookie, you literally melt yourself, because you're like, wow, I don't know why this cookie's so delicious. Because it's filled with that love, and that's her superpower. Each of us have a superpower that has nothing to do with conquering some other country and taking their resources, which is the only power we are taught about in our culture. The real powers come in these very subtle soul qualities.
Oh, I love it. And as you're talking, Reese Thomas, and I want everyone to know that this is Dr. Duffy Spencer. We are Just Relationships, WHPC 90.3. And Reese Thomas, Thomas, is the author of Discover Your Purpose, How to Use the Five Life Purpose Profiles to Unlock Your Hidden Potential and Live the Life You Were Meant to Live. And you can get your book, Reese, through your own website, I guess, discoveryourpurposebook.com, where you get not only the book, but other bonuses.
I have a keynote talk that I have given about the profiles, so that you can kind of get an introduction. And then there's also a member site which has a number of other tools and meditations and guided meditations that help you find your profile, even faster than just reading the book. So yes, if you go to discoveryourpurposebook.com, you can buy it on my site. It'll still come from Amazon, but you can also get the bonuses there, or you can just go to Amazon or Barnes and Noble's, and they both carry it.
So it's everywhere, online, in local bookstores, as well as on your own site, discoveryourpurposebook.com. And I also just wanted to let people know that you actually have a yearly and annual every spring event called awakenevent.com. And it's a live event where you actually do demonstrations of helping people find their purpose and kind of almost reclaiming themselves.
Absolutely. And I run an energy medicine school, which is a full spectrum energy school. So we use the profile system. Your purpose is the foundation of all of your energy. And so when you, if you know, a lot of people understand the soul, there's a soul quality within us and we have these chakras, but they forget that the soul itself doesn't need a purpose. It's like your character. It's like this wonderful thing. But in our bodies, we come into the world with a very specific set of contracts. And those contracts are sort of the bridge between the soul and the chakras. And if you don't know your contracts, you don't know your purpose, you never understand why your chakras aren't ever behaving for you. So we teach people how to live in the chakras, how to experience them, how to understand their energies, these various different levels of their consciousness, but also understanding that the rock you have to build yourself on is this deeper understanding, like we were just saying, in the secret place. You knew your purpose in your secret place, and it wasn't anything other than to enjoy your life in a very specific way. And yes, some people in that place were very organized and had all of their stuffed animals in a row, and they were like little soldiers. And others were, you know, thought they were pirates on a ship. And others were just softly, gently watching the sky and looking at the blades of grass and maybe a little grasshopper jumping along. You know, and others were just literally climbed up high up on a tree and were thought they were flying because they love to be up above the world. So each of those qualities represent each of the things that what we did in our secret place, who we were back then, is actually what we're supposed to build our life as right now. And by knowing that, we can make very different choices now in our lives as adults when we realize what really makes me happy and has made me happy since I was born is this. And then we can choose work, we can choose relationships, and we can choose how to support ourselves in our health in a very different way than if we just follow, oh, well, Dr. Mercola says this, and so-and-so says that, and this is the way you're supposed to have relationships, and this is a good business person, I'll go to business school, or I'll take some coaching on business. You know, those things only lead you to the cookie cutter, and the most important cookie cutter is to find out what cookie you were cut from.
So in the last show we talked about it, that your mate or your significant other probably energetically you're attracted to them because they have a different life purpose than you, and to balance each other out. And what I'm thinking about right now is self-acceptance, because I'm not sure if you use this term in your book, but the idea of a shadow choice. In other words, could a person choose one of the five life purpose profiles that is more conforming to what society expects, like, say, the achiever, because society loves workaholics and achievers, and they may really be the soft.
Very much. Well, one interesting thing that I've found is energetically that there's no discernible difference between the number of men in each of the profiles and the number of women. So there are an equal number of women leaders as there are men. There are equal number of women achievers as there are men. There are an equal number of women caretakers as there are men, an equal number of emotional intelligence people as there are men, and the equal number of creative people as there are men. There are more leaders on the planet than any of the others by a lot, like 40% of the people, 30 to 40% of the people on the planet are leaders. Too many chiefs, not enough Indians. And so that's why we tend to have wars, because they tend to not get along. They tend to only want to do it their way. So we do have that as one of our things, one of the crosses we have to bear, is that we have a lot of leaders that haven't really been brought up on leadership. But the hardest part about it is that women are brought up to believe that the best thing they could be is a caretaker or a deep feeler. And so they will enhance those qualities within them, and they will negate the fact that many, many, many of them are charismatic leaders or achievers. And so it's very important that we see that women often use their leadership quality to be a better team player or a better emotional health specialist. But it's truly until they know that they are actually a leader or an achiever, it's very difficult for them to ever feel whole in the world. And the same thing applies for men. There are equal number of men that are deep feelers and caretakers in the world, and they are taught that if you're not an achiever or a leader and very independent and out there and going for it in your life, you're a loser. Right? What's the matter with you? You know you got to be tough and get out there. And so they learn to shut their feelings down. So not pretend that they are that other person. And I guess it's coming. You know, sort of the computer geek, I guess, with all of the electronics and everything, that's becoming more of an accepted personality. But certainly when we were growing up, nobody wanted to be a geek. Nobody wanted to be that sort of out in left field type of person. Nowadays, my son, because I have a lot of geek in me, my son, who also was brilliant, creatively brilliant. He was never, a go-getter or a leader or anything like that. He was totally happy to be with the sort of geeky computer guy friends. And I had talked to him one time about it, and I said, well, how is that for you in school? And he goes, oh, it's really no problem. All my friends know that all those big dumb jocks popular kids, they're all going to work for us someday anyway. So it's not a problem.
Oh, that's funny.
I think that's being more accepted, but certainly when we were growing up, that was totally not accepted, and that was what I was. That was my primary, and so it was sort of, I immediately said, I'm going to be an achiever, because at least I had some of that in me, and I could do that. But we often try to live in our shadow, in the secondary quality, which sometimes is our shadow and sometimes isn't, but we try to be what we think is going to be accepted the most. And what's accepted the most in men is leadership, and what's accepted most in the women is compassion. And if you have to fake it to do it, it's never going to work for you.
No, it's never going to work, and you're going to get the imposter syndrome, and you're going to exile parts of you that are really vital to you. Your, as you said earlier, your soul, your inner light. And how many people do that? As you said in the last show, that we choose love and acceptance over finding our own true self.
Right. We all have to make that tough choice.
Yes.
And if you come into the world and you know yourself as non-form, you know, and the child is just like, I'm here, and the parents say, whoa, no, not I'm here. It's your Reese, my name's Reese, you're a Duffy, and girls dress like this and boys dress like that, and this is the way we behave, and this is our religion, and all of these things that we have to instantly sort of accept and learn and behave like so that we get accepted. And if we didn't, if we decided that we didn't want to speak the same language our parents spoke? Right? You would be a learning disability within hours. And yet, why do we have to, why do we have to speak not only our parents' language, but also then learn all of the shadow, emotional negativity within the words that they're teaching us? All of their own personal grievances go into those words. Right. And we don't have those. We should, and ultimately when someone, when we work with people in the school, one of the things that we work with them on is taking all the words that are charged for them in their lives and redefining those words as something that serve them. And one of them for me was anger, because, in our family, there wasn't a lot of anger. It was more sort of like we stood in judgment of those crazy people that were always yelling and screaming and angry, and we didn't do that. And so anger was this thing that was a harsh judgment about people that were angry or rageful. But as I grew up, I realized that anger is, and I learned that in the East, anger is the most important emotion, because without it, you don't change anything. So anger comes up. Anger is just heat that rises through your body. What we call anger is actually an energetic cleansing. So if someone were holding you down, you know, and you couldn't breathe, and you needed to get somewhere, and needed to get up and get something, you would get angry, and you'd get hot, and you'd fight. Okay,
right.
So energetically, when someone ties you or you know, paints you into a corner in your life, or you're being held down by your own belief systems, if you can't get angry about that, if you can't heat up and get angry about that, you can't make that change. And so when we vow, and I talk about vows in my book, and it's one of the elements how we ultimately limit ourselves. We vow to always be this or never be that.
Mm-hmm.
When we vow to never be angry, we actually vow to never change.
Yes. Wow.
So it's sort of like, you know, embracing the whole self, as you said, the shadow. Anger isn't a shadow until you don't understand it, until
mm-hmm.
you don't understand the energetics of it.
Right.
When it's a word that means aggression,
yeah,
and negation of another person. Now, that's not
different.
Really anger.
Right.
Right? That's dominance. That's
dominance,
that's
rage.
Right. That's rage and aggression. Aggression is where you lose yourself and are literally not even in your body, and you're living in that other person's world trying to manipulate it, control it. And that's not anger. Anger is actually something that is totally held within you. So when I redefined anger for myself, I could feel how when anger comes up within me, it's telling me I need to make a change.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, we have just a couple of minutes, the two biggest pejorative words, lazy or selfish. And
right.
And so these words have a lot of emotional charge that can be reframed.
Yep. Absolutely. So, absolutely. And lazy is often, you know, directed from the achiever. So the achiever judges everybody as being lazy because they aren't as driven as they are.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're taught that the need to relax is lazy, we never find a balance in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
I live there, and it wasn't really until the last few years when I moved to Spain and learned how to be a little lazy every now and then, and just actually let some things slide, and actually lower my expectations for how much I'm supposed to make on a certain deal or this or that or what, you know, all of those things. When I changed that and realized that lazy isn't lazy, you know, the word lazy just means not having anything to do.
Yes, and Rhys Thomas, I have to interrupt you again.
Yep.
This is amazing. This has been a wonderful show. Rhys Thomas, very interesting first name, R-H-Y-S Thomas, T-H-O-M-A-S, discoveryourpurposebook.com. So to not only order Rhys's book, but to order it with all kinds of bonuses and to see a keynote speech of his and demonstrations. Thank you so much. Discover Your Purpose, the 5 Life Purpose Profiles to Unlock Your Hidden Potential and Live the Life You Were Meant to Live. Rhys Thomas, thank you so much. It's been a complete pleasure.
Well, Dr. Duffy, it was my pleasure too.
Thank you, and this is Dr. Duffy Spencer saying goodbye for now and wishing you great relationships.